Chapter 12.
Reverse the enchantment? I clarified as a knot gripped the base of my throat. Meaning, the two dimensions would become one? Arwen nodded as she tucked a stray tendril of crimson hair behind her ear.
That would be our best guess.
I blinked rapidly as the gravity of the situation weighed down upon my mind. If the Arkans successfully brought the human realm and the Shadowscape together, the results would be nothing short of catastrophic. The only advantage humans had over the monsters in the Shadow Realm was separation. If the two worlds were combined, the civilians of Mistral would have nothing to protect them from monster attacks. Our military forces would do all they could, but even in its entirety, the army of Mistral couldn't handle an influx of monsters that great. I'd thought Fi's plan to open up a permanent rift had been evil, but she'd only wanted to create a permanent portal, not combine the worlds into one. This was bad, or at least it had the potential to be, if the Arkan Alliance was successful. Shit, I muttered, and I leaned forward and rested my head into my hands. Maker, this isn't good.
Before you panic too much, and just know we aren't 100% certain,
Arwen reminded me in a softened tone.
The glyphs are difficult to read, and it's written in a language that has been unknown to humans for centuries. For all we know, it could be a mistranslation or a broken cipher.
It may be unknown to any living humans, but not the Arkans, I brought up.
Exactly,
the buxom professor agreed.
We can make guesses, but at the end of the day, they're only theories. Until the master plan is confirmed by an Arkan herself, we're solely operating on speculation.
Now that Karth is under my control, I should be able to interrogate her, I proposed. She was the leader, after all, so she would have the answers we need. The sooner I can get the information from her, the sooner we can track down Huna and Keela.
We shall arrange that in a timely manner,
Arwen decided.
But for now,
I don't know if we have the time to waste, Arwen, I interjected. We finally know what the Arkans have been planning.
Well, we think we know,
the professor corrected me.
This translation isn't as clear as we'd prefer it to be.
Fine, I sighed. If we think we know their plan, we need to get Karth to confirm and then go from there. I have ways to make her speak, I assure you.
Damn, Griff. You can be scary when you want to be,
Layla noted after a short period of silence.
It's kind of sexy.
Griff, you just got your strength back,
Nia reminded me as she gently placed her hand on my arm.
You aren't in any position to interrogate Karth or any other Arkans. Right now, we need you to focus on your recovery. I understand you want to get this deciphered as quickly as possible, but you just told us a few minutes ago Huna and Keela have little chance on their own without Karth. We have the upper hand in this situation, and I think we need to take advantage of that by letting you rest up. Your mana was depleted so far you nearly died,
Arwen chimed in.
We cannot risk another situation where your magic gets drained that deeply. Especially considering you aren't healed yet.
I'm doing so much better, I pointed out to the healer mage. Meriden wouldn't have released me if she thought otherwise.
Griff, please,
Nia begged me.
I know this is a lot to take in, and I know it changes some of the immediacies of the situation, but Arwen's right. She is a healer after all, and I think we need to heed her caution.
I turned to the rest of my women. What did the rest of you think about this? My wives and girlfriends all glanced around at each other and again waited for someone to speak. Ashla readjusted in her seat.
Griff, I want to know everything is well. I'm sure the others agree. If the Arkans Alliance wanted to merge the dimensions, we owe it to the people of Mistral to get to the bottom of it. Yet, at the same time, Nia and Arwen make a good point. You've been gone for a little while now, and no offense, but you look exhausted. Still extremely sexy, by the way, but definitely exhausted.
The more I hear it, the more I believe it, I groaned. Here I thought I was making a full recovery.
Griff, you know we all love you.
Aaron chimed in.
Which is why we want to prioritize your health above everything else. We can't risk losing you.
You won't, I assured the orange-haired beauty. I'm not going anywhere but my own dreamscape.
I think speaking with Kart is a good idea.
Freya spoke up, and her gold-flecked brown eyes were soft as they gazed into mine.
But perhaps you could wait a few days, my husband. We aren't suggesting you take a year to rest, only a short while longer.
The Hawk Princess's words still held a slight accent, but I was impressed by her fluency in Mistral. The shapeshifter had come a long way since she came back with me to Varlay, and I admired her dedication to learning our language. My women eyed me with similar expressions of concern, and the sight made my desire to push forward fade away into nothingness. If my women wanted me to rest, I had to rest. You're probably all right, I agreed with them. I'll take some time to rest up and get my mana and everything back into order. Maker only knows I could use a moment to take care of myself.
I think that's the best possible option, Griff.
Arwen nodded as she elegantly crossed her ankles.
You always take good care of us, so let us take care of you for once.
Ashla added with a smile.
I can think of a few ways we can take care of you.
Layla waggled her eyebrows suggestively. Oh, we'll need to revisit that idea soon, I agreed with the petite mage.
All the more incentive to rest up.
Nia winked at me with a suggestive smile of her own.
It's been a while since we've all had some fun with each other.
Too long, I replied. I've definitely missed you all.
We've missed you, too.
Freya smiled at me.
And your delicious cock.
My hawk wife's forwardness was always something I found super sexy. But tonight, as she studied me with her striking eyes, I found her completely irresistible. Forgive me for delaying my husbandly duties, I apologized.
You're forgiven,
Cyrus smirked.
For the most part, a verbal apology isn't going to be enough. I like this idea,
Aaron agreed with the curly-haired summoner, as she absently stroked Oliver's strawberry blonde hair.
As do I,
Arwen giggled, and she bit her lower lip.
But ladies, we need to practice restraint, at least for tonight. Perhaps if we allow Griff to get some rest, we can regather tomorrow once the children have been put to bed.
Yes, please, I nodded. The red-headed professor had leaned forward ever so slightly, and her black lace-up blouse did little to conceal the swell of her impressively large breasts. My eyes lingered on them for a moment, and then rose to meet her amber gaze. Maker, how had I gotten so lucky?
On that note, I think we should retire for the evening,
Nia decided as she peered down at Nessa. My ashen-haired daughter was fast asleep in my wife's arms, and the rest of my children looked like they were soon to follow.
It's been a long day, and I know that if I'm tired, everyone else must be too.
Good idea, I agreed with my ashen-haired wife, just before a yawn escaped my lips. I was more tired than I wanted to admit, and though I wanted to spend more time with my family, my eyes were getting a little blurry.
I'll make us breakfast in the morning,
Syra declared.
We're overdue for a nice family meal, and it might be a good way to start our day.
That's a great idea, Syra, I smiled back at the curly-haired summoner. Speaking of mornings, I'm still a little out of it. Don't laugh at me for asking, but what day of the week is it?
Friday. So tomorrow is a Saturday,
Nia answered.
Lucky for you, you came back to us just in time for a nice, relaxing weekend.
Thank the Maker, I sighed in relief as I rested my head against the back cushion of the couch.
Not that I want to remind you of it too soon, Griff, but starting Monday we'll have to start preparing you for your exam.
Arwen reminded me gently. Oh, fuck, I cursed, and my head leaned even further back as I stared up at the ceiling. With all of the excitement lately, I'd completely forgotten about the comprehensive exam I had to take. My week in the Shadowscape with Karth lasted 9 months in the human realm, which had disrupted the back half of my second year, and the beginning of my third. Headmaster Sleet gave me the option to take a comprehensive exam that would cover everything I would need to enter my third-year classes, but had also proposed allowing me to pass. While I dreaded the idea of studying for such a long exam, I wanted to prove to my professors and the headmaster that my time in the field had given me adequate experience, and I also didn't want to be the type of man who took handouts. Sleet's offer was generous, but I wanted to do what I felt was the more honorable thing. That being said, I was not looking forward to studying. Of course, one-on-one tutoring with my favorite crimson-haired professor certainly had its perks, and I could use a little extra time with my lover.
"It won't be too bad," Arwen assured me in a tone that hovered somewhere between professional and concerned girlfriend. "You've had more than enough practical experience to pass this exam. And besides, you're incredibly smart and motivated. I have no doubt you'll do just fine on the test, Griff. Plus, you have me to catch you up on everything you've missed."
"Thanks, Arwen," I replied, and I sat back up to meet the healer mage's eyes. "I really appreciate all of the help."
"That's what I'm here for," Arwen smiled at me.
"Ugh, extra studying sounds miserable,"
Layla remarked as she wiped a smudge of drool off Daphne's cheek.
"Yeah, that's why we're just going to make that a Monday problem," I laughed, and the rest of my lovers joined in.
Once the laughter subsided, we all got up from our seats and headed back up to the nursery. The babies were fast asleep in our arms, which made it that much easier to tuck them into their cribs. As far as behaviors go, I certainly hit the lottery when it came to well-behaved children. Freya and Syra decided they were going to hang around for a while, so after we all shared hugs and kisses, we splintered off to retire for the evening. My bedroom was a welcome sight after my nights in the infirmary, and the moment my door closed behind me, I unfastened my bandolier and stripped out of my clothes. Nia had brought me a fresh set while I was in the infirmary, since the garments I'd worn in the battle against Karth had been ripped and worn beyond compare, but it felt nice to stand bare in the comfort of my room. I lifted the corner of my soft gray comforter and let out a sigh of relief as I climbed into my king-sized bed. The mattresses in the medical ward were comfortable enough, but nothing was better than the feeling of my own plush bed. It cushioned my still sore body in a caress, and it was nearly enough to immediately put me to sleep. Suddenly, I heard a knock on the door, and then it creaked open slightly and revealed my ashen-haired wife.
"Would you like some company?"
Nia asked me quietly as she poked her head into the room. "Of course," I replied, and I patted the empty space next to me on the mattress. "You know, you're always welcome in my bed."
"I just wanted to mind your recovery,"
my ashen-haired wife smiled at me, and then she stepped into the room and closed the door behind her.
"I also didn't want to sound like a hypocrite after pressing you so much about getting some good sleep."
Nia then stripped out of her maroon sweater dress, and I was delighted to see that underneath the garment, my wife's impressive figure was swathed in a jet-black slip. It was surprising to see the multi-elementalist in such dark colors, but the richness of the nightgown made her porcelain skin and piercing eyes even more luminous. "If you were really worried about me getting some sleep, you would have chosen something a little less sexy to wear," I teased her. "Though, you could wear a paper sack, and I'd still find you completely irresistible."
"Oh, your recovery means everything to me, my darling husband,"
Nia insisted as her lips twitched up into a smirk.
"I intend to watch over you and enforce a strict regimen of sleep and wellness. But I figured I'd give you something to admire in the meantime."
"You've certainly given me plenty to admire," I noted as my eyes drank in my wife's long, lithe body. The slip ended just short of her toned ass and gave me a peek at her flimsy-looking maroon silk panties, and it took all of my willpower to keep from drooling all over the sheets. Nia's beauty never failed to astound me. As my wife approached the bed, she reached behind her and began to untwist the braid that kept her hair neatly bound, and soon her hair fell down her back in silver waves. I loved the way her hair looked braided, but the sight of it unbound made the mage look downright ethereal. My wife climbed into bed, and I wasted no time. I swept the elementalist up into my lap, and once her arms were wrapped around my neck, and her incredibly long legs were around my torso, I drew her in closer and kissed her full pink lips. Nia let out a soft sigh of delight, and then she leaned in even closer until her full breasts pressed against my chest. I ran my hands down the sides of her waist until I reached the curves of her hips, and I gripped them tightly. Nia's kiss deepened even further as I moved down to the slopes of her ass, and she let out a small moan as I squeezed her cheeks.
"I want you, Griff,"
she whispered against my lips.
"I've missed you so much lately. I know it's selfish and hypocritical after I just told you that you needed to rest."
"Hush, I'm all yours," I promised her, and then I gently took one of her lips in between my teeth.
"Griff,"
Nia shuddered as I bit her lightly, and when I pulled away, her blue eyes had darkened and were heavy-lidded with lust. "Lift your arms," I instructed, and once the mage raised them up, I carefully eased the black slip over her head. I took care to keep her hair from getting snagged with the motion, and once the slip fluttered to the ground, I was greeted by the sight of her full, pert breasts. Nia's extra baby weight had melted away from the ashen-haired mage's body almost immediately after giving birth to the twins, but her breasts had retained the fullness they'd gained during pregnancy, and needless to say, I was quite the fan. "That doesn't hurt, does it?" I asked as I kneaded and caressed her chest and teased her stiffened pink nipples.
"No, they're fine,"
the elementalist insisted as her lower lip trembled.
"Arwen gave me some kind of magic-enhanced cream that keeps them from getting sore."
"Good," I replied, "because I intend to make you scream tonight, and I don't want anything to get in the way of that." I brought my lips back to hers and continued to work her with my hands as we kissed. Nia's posture relaxed significantly, and she moaned into my mouth as I pinched her nipples. After we spent some time kissing, I pulled away and then carefully flipped Nia over so I was on top of her, and the elementalist wrapped her legs around me once more. Our kiss deepened as my tongue parted her lips, and Nia pressed her hips against me. I was already rock hard, but the way my wife clung to me only turned me on further. I loosened her leg's grip around my waist before I removed Nia's wet and flimsy panties and discarded them onto the floor along with her nightgown. Then I took a moment to admire Nia's porcelain form, and my eyes trailed down to her completely bare entrance, which glistened with wetness. "You're ready for me, aren't you?" I asked as I traced her skin with my finger and trailed down to the top of her hip bones. Nia quivered beneath my touch.
"Yes, please, Griff. I want you inside of me."
Not one to turn down a request from my gorgeous wife, I gripped Nia's hips and pulled her closer to me. The elementalist's chest heaved as her breath came in pants, and as she trembled, I grasped my cock in one hand and rubbed it against her velvet folds. "Like that?" I asked.
"Please,"
she begged.
"Oh, Griff, stop teasing me. I want you."
"Your wish is my command," I replied, and I slid my cock within her until it was completely engulfed by her tight, slick tunnel.
"Oh, Mika."
Nia's eyebrows creased together as her back arched, and when I slowly pulled out of her, her full pink lips parted as she uttered a soft cry.
"Fuck, Griff, that feels so good."
"You feel amazing," I grunted in a husky tone as I thrust in and out of her in long, slow strokes. A sheen of sweat broke out across my forehead, and my breath felt ragged in my chest as I panted. Nia's pussy was gloriously tight, and the way she gripped my hardened member was enough to make my head spin. I cupped her breasts in my hands as I thrust it inside of her, and I kneaded and tweaked Nia's pink nipples until they hardened into stiff peaks.
Oh, fuck!
Nia moaned as she writhed beneath me, and her hands grasped the sheets until her knuckles were white as fresh-fallen snow.
Oh, Griff! I'm going to come!
The sound of her breathy moans, paired with the way her pussy clenched my rock-hard member, made me quiver with anticipation, and I clenched my jaw as I tried to contain my building climax. Nia was close to coming, and I wanted to explode right there with her. A few more moments of thrusting and moaning passed by, and I couldn't contain myself any longer.
Come for me,
I groaned as I slammed into Nia. And that was all it took to make my wife and I come together in a surge of pure euphoria. My vision blurred as Nia's tunnel spasmed around me, and I groaned as what felt like a gallon of my hot seed poured into her womb. We clung to each other as we rode the intense waves, and I felt as if my entire body was drenched in sweat as my orgasm struck me over and over again. When the spasms subsided, I pulled away to see Nia's pupils had dilated.
That was amazing,
Nia muttered as her lower lip trembled.
You can say that again,
I panted. After a few moments, I eased myself out of her soaked entrance and laid down beside her in the bed. Once we came down from the blissful high of our lovemaking, we began again, and we spent the rest of the night switching positions and pleasuring each other over and over again. I was surprised Nia was capable of so many orgasms, but the gentle sound of the Elementalist's climaxes was euphoric to my ears, and I became addicted to the pleasure of making her come. After hours of teasing, touching, and giving, we finally exhausted ourselves, so Nia and I settled into each other's arms.
I love you, Griff,
Nia whispered just before she fell asleep. I love you too, I murmured back as Nia nestled her head on my chest, and I kissed the top of her head. I stroked her silky hair, and the softness combined with the repetitive movement was enough to make me drift off to sleep. The next morning, I woke to Nia still curled up in my arms. Sunlight had begun to stream into the room, but I wasn't quite ready to rise for the day, so instead, I snuggled the Elementalist closer to me. Nia let out a soft moan in her sleep, but she rested her forehead against my chest. My arm was asleep from the lack of movement, but the opportunity to cuddle in bed with my gorgeous wife was more important than some temporary numbness. I closed my eyes again and simply enjoyed this peaceful moment with Nia. Quiet time was few and far between around here, and I needed to get better about living in the present rather than worrying about future problems. I was so comfortable with my wife in my arms that I actually drifted back to sleep and didn't wake up again until I heard a knock on the door sometime later.
Yeah?
I called out groggily, and I blinked my eyes rapidly to try to readjust to my surroundings. Nia was still beside me, but she was no longer wrapped around me as she was before, and instead was curled up on her side facing away from me. My bedroom creaked open, and behind it was a shock of vibrant orange hair.
Sorry to wake you, but Syra has food for everyone,
Aaron said quietly as she poked her head in. The mage's amber eyes peeked around until they found mine, and then Aaron stepped in a little closer.
She wanted to wait a little longer, but it's already almost noon.
Ah, shit, we overslept,
I groaned, and I was careful with my arms as I stretched, so I wouldn't accidentally hit Nia.
You seemed like you needed it,
Aaron remarked. Then her eyes trailed down to Nia's discarded clothing on the ground, and her lips curled up into an amused smile.
Anyways, I'll leave you two alone to get dressed and showered. Unless you'd prefer to come downstairs naked. I don't mind either way.
Dirty girl, I chuckled. We aren't heathens.
I just call it as I see it.
The mimic shrugged.
See you down there shortly.
Erin gave me a flirtatious wink, and then she left the room and closed the door behind her. The sound was enough to rouse Nia, and the elementalist let out a soft moan as she started to wake.
Griff?
She asked groggily.
Was someone there?
Just Erin, I answered in a quiet voice, and I brushed a few strands of silvery hair out of Nia's sleepy face. Syra's got breakfast made. They're just waiting for us.
We could probably stand to replenish our bodies.
Nia chuckled lightly as she rubbed her blurry eyes.
We certainly got quite the amount of exercise last night.
That's for sure, I smirked. I'm not going to complain about it, though.
Me either.
Nia smiled at me.
It was nice to be with you again.
Well, now that I'm home, we'll have to make this a more regular thing again, I decided, and my wife nodded happily in agreement.
Think we have enough time to shower?
Nia wondered as she sat up and yawned. Her mane of silver hair fell over her chest in a way that only further enhanced her beauty, and I struggled to keep my mind decent as I studied her.
If we hurry, I replied. Unfortunately, we'll probably have to keep our hands to ourselves.
That's going to be difficult,
my wife said as her eyes fixated on my mouth.
All I want to do is kiss you and never stop.
I understand the feeling, I nodded. But we have all the time in the world for that. What we don't have time for, however, is getting a decent amount of food in our bellies after Layla shows up. So we should probably get down there and stake our claim.
That girl certainly can put away some food,
Nia agreed.
Fair point, farm boy.
My wife and I shared one more kiss, and then we pulled ourselves out of bed. I ambled over to my wardrobe and retrieved a simple gray sweater, a pair of clean trousers, thick socks, and underwear. And while I got the fresh garments together for after my shower, Nia pulled her silky nightgown and discarded sweatdress back over her head.
To the showers?
She asked after I pulled on my trousers from the night before.
By your lead, Lady Kennefic.
I gestured at the door, and then Nia and I left the room and made our way upstairs. A short time later, the multi-elementalist and I were bathed and dressed, and as we headed down the spiral staircase, the air grew rich with a dozen different smells. I detected maple syrup, bacon, eggs, and fresh bread, and my mouth began to water. When we arrived in the kitchen, I was surprised to see the spread Syra had laid out. The curly-haired summoner stood behind the counter with Freya, and the pair of beauties were laughing when we entered.
Well, well, well,
Syra teased.
If it isn't Griff and Nia, I thought you two were never going to pull yourselves off each other. Are you making baby number three?
Freya chimed in with a raise of her dark gold eyebrows, and Nia and I exchanged wide-eyed glances.
Definitely not any time soon,
my ashen-haired wife answered the Hawk Princess for us.
I think we have our hands full for the time being.
Syra, this looks and smells amazing, I brought up in an effort to shift the subject away from Nia and I's physical relationship. While it was apparently noon, it was still too early to talk about expanding the family.
You flatterer,
Syra waved me off with a flick of her hand, but her chocolate brown eyes glittered at the compliment.
I'm serious,
I insisted as my eyes trailed over the delicious-looking food. My nose had been correct about the smells. Syra had prepared dishes full of pancakes, bacon, fresh fruit, warm bread and eggs, and my stomach let out a low grumble.
Well, Freya's been teaching me how to cook,
Syra said, and she flashed a smile at the Hawk Princess.
I wasn't inept earlier, but I definitely needed some pointers. Syra is a great student,
Freya remarked in a proud tone.
She learned how to do everything very quickly, and she always asks the right questions. Hey, can we start eating now?
Layla called out from the corridor, and then the auburn-haired mage joined us in the kitchen.
We've been waiting for quite a while now, and I'm on the verge of starvation.
The petite summoner's body language was impatient as she bounced on the balls of her feet, and I resisted the urge to laugh. Nia had been correct before. Getting between Layla and her food was not advisable. You don't have to wait for us, I insisted.
Hey, we're having a nice family meal, dammit,
Layla declared as she planted her hands on her hips.
Now, grab your plates and let's get after it, shall we?
We all cracked up at the mage's impatient tone and did as she had asked. As we grabbed our plates and filled them up with the piles of Syra's food, the other women filed in to join us.
Good morning,
Arwen greeted us as she entered the kitchen.
Afternoon, I guess? We're eating breakfast. We can still call it the morning,
Syra decided with a contemplative nod.
Sounds logical to me, I shrugged.
Maker, Syra, this smells fantastic,
Aaron noted as she joined us.
Thanks, girl,
Syra grinned at the mimic.
Are the lovebirds finally up?
Ashla's voice called out from down the hall, and the ice mage wore a mischievous smile as she entered the room.
I was beginning to wonder if we needed to send in reinforcements.
Good morning to you too, Ashla,
I laughed as I shook my head. Once our plates were full of warm food, I followed Nia and the others into the dining room, and we all took our seats at the rounded table. It didn't take long for everyone to tuck in, and as we did, the room filled with words and sounds of delight.
This is excellent,
Nia noted as she tapped her stack of pancakes with the prongs of her fork.
Thank you,
Syra replied before she took a long swig from her coffee cup. The food tasted even better than it smelled, and I devoured it much faster than I anticipated. I was still getting my strength back, and the hot meal made me finally feel like a person again. That definitely beats anything from the academy, I sighed as I brought my own coffee mug to my lips. Thanks for taking the time to make all of that. That was very kind of you.
As I said, Freya deserves a lot of the credit, too,
Syra pointed out.
But I'm glad you enjoyed it. There's still plenty more, so feel free to get seconds.
The room fell silent as everyone continued to eat and drink, and I just sat back with my coffee mug and enjoyed myself. Sunlight streamed through the ice-blue room through the wall-length windows, and the warmth on my cheeks was quite pleasant. So, what's on the agenda for today? I wondered.
We don't really have anything planned,
Aaron said with a thoughtful expression.
A few chores need to be done, but other than that, our schedules are pretty much open. What would be a fun day for you, Griff?
Nia asked as her head tilted slightly to the side.
If you could spend the day doing anything, what would it be?
I feel like if you'd asked me that question 2 years ago, my response would have been wildly different, I chuckled. But now I'd say that what I want most of all is to spend the day with my family. We don't have to do anything elaborate, even. I just want to make up for the time I lost, both from this last trip and the time before.
Aww,
Aaron drawled.
That's so sweet. We love you, Griffy,
Layla agreed with the orange-haired pilot. I love you, too. I winked at the petite mage.
Maybe we could all take a walk together and maybe spend some time in the hot springs,
Ashla suggested as she toyed with one of her thick braids.
Then tonight we could just lounge around with the babies in a warm fire.
A nice day and night at home sounds wonderful, I agreed with the ice mage. And so does a long soak.
That sounds lovely to me,
Arwen said as she dabbed a napkin at the corner of her mouth.
Me too,
Layla chimed in through a mouthful of eggs.
Sounds good to me as well,
Freya nodded. Syra, Aaron, Nia, I prompted the rest of my women. What do you think?
I'm down,
Aaron declared.
So am I,
Syra and Nia said at the same time, and the pair of mages cracked up. Their laughter was infectious, and even I found myself chuckling at the two. Once we'd all finished eating, we filed back into the kitchen and got to work cleaning up after ourselves. Since Freya and Syra did all of the cooking, they were banished from the room, so the pair decided to head upstairs and ready the children for our walk. Even though we were scrubbing up dirty dishes, my lovers found a way to make the chores fun, and soon we were laughing and making jokes at each other's expenses as we got the kitchen back to its original state. The task flew by quickly since there was six of us to tidy up, and once the kitchen was sparkling, we all splintered off to grab jackets and shoes. As I sat on the edge of my bed and laced up my boots, a feeling of comfort washed over me. I was so used to racing to the next task that it felt nice to take a moment to do something so simple and domestic as breakfast and a leisurely walk with my family. We didn't get moments like this very often, so I had to cherish them when they came.
"Ready, Griffey?"
Layla called out to me as I finished tying my laces. "I'm ready," I called back. And when I left my room, I was pleased to see the petite summoner and our daughter out in the hallway. Layla and Daphne wore matching rosy pink peacoats, and the sight was too cute for words. The pair shared the same button noses, the same enormous hazel eyes, and the same mischievous smiles. So the matching jackets were just another thing that made mother and daughter look like twins.
"Shall we?"
Layla smiled at me, and she extended her elbow in my direction. "We shall." I looped my arm around it, and then we headed downstairs together.
"I'm happy you're home,"
the auburn-haired mage whispered to me just before we joined the rest of our family. "I am too," I said with absolute certainty, and I couldn't help but grin. Life felt nice for once, and I was going to enjoy every moment of it. Monday came around faster than I'd wanted it to, but I couldn't just sit around the mansion with my family forever. I was home, and now that the mission to go after Karth was over, I had an academic life to return to. I rose in the morning at the same time I normally would if I had classes, showered, got dressed, and ate breakfast before I went upstairs and joined Arwen in her bedroom. The professor's space was part library, part bedroom, and part study room, with wall-length bookshelves, a fireplace that crackled with nearly white pale embers, and a couple of tables with plush green velvet armchairs to lounge or read in. I was going to meet with my crimson-haired girlfriend once her history class concluded, but for now, I wanted to get a head start on studying. So I carried my school satchel over to one of the large tables near the fireplace and retrieved my stack of textbooks. I wasn't entirely sure what all would be on the exam, but truth be told, I hadn't cracked open one of my textbooks in a long time, and any type of refresher would probably be helpful. I started with my monster identification book, but as I scanned the pictures and statistics of grade B monsters, my mind began to wander. I turned to the next section of the hefty volume and tried to refocus, but the sight of monsters that were only half as wicked as the ones I'd faced out in the field with the Arkans didn't hold my attention. I pulled my chair out from the table, stood up, and then began to pace. I gently reminded myself this was my first time studying in nearly a year, and that I was likely out of practice, but a voice in the back of my mind had other thoughts. How could I worry about monsters that didn't matter when I could instead focus on my mission against the rest of the Arkan Alliance? The rest of my women were either in class, on their way to class, or up in the nursery, and I had Arwen study all to myself. Private time was rare, so maybe this was the perfect opportunity to try to get a few words out of Karth. I sat down at one of the sofas and made myself comfortable. I had a feeling Karth was going to fight against my questions, so I wanted to at least put my body at ease. Then I leaned back into the cushion and allowed my mind to go utterly blank. My efforts were likely futile, but I figured going into this with a clear head was the most ideal option. Once I relaxed, I closed my eyes and reached deep into my consciousness. Since I became more powerful with each Arkan I captured, the wards that sealed the goddesses away were usually so tight that I hardly heard a peep from the monster goddesses, unless otherwise prompted. But the moment I reached into my mind, I was met with the sound of screams and snarls.
"Let me out,"
Karth hissed.
"I demand to be released at once."
I can't do that, I answered her. You know exactly why.
If you do not release me this instant...
What will you do? I interrupted the Arkan. You can make threats all you want, but you aren't in control, Karth. I am. You have no hold over me, but I certainly have one over you.
So, then what do you intend to do with me?
The horned goddess spat.
Lock me away forever like your guardian parents attempted so long ago? Trust me, Griff, you don't want me stuck inside your head forever. I'll make every second of your existence incredibly miserable.
I actually had other intentions, I admitted. And things will go a lot better for you if you just cooperate.
I don't play nice,
Karth sneered.
Nor do I cooperate with kidnappers.
I beat you fair and square, I reminded her. And it took all of my being to keep my voice level. And besides, I'm not your kidnapper. I'm your master. And you'd better get used to the idea, or you're going to be the one with the miserable existence.
I don't bow to human men,
the green-skinned goddess growled.
Not even ones who claim to be the great savior from the prophecy. I will never call you my master. I'd rather rot away than submit my allegiance like my weak sisters before me.
Shall I force you, then? I inquired. I've told you before, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get you to speak.
I am speaking.
Karth interrupted me.
You can keep your threats of violence to yourself, human.
All right. So what were your plans before you involved me in them? I asked the Arkan outright. The plan you concocted with the Alliance. What was it?
Why should I tell you?
Karth scoffed. Because what other choice do you have? I pressed. But the Horned Arkan didn't seem to care about this.
There's always a choice,
the monster goddess insisted.
I don't have to do what you asked, just as much as you don't have to do what your human friends ask of you. I'll tell you what. I'll give in and tell you my plans. But only if you choose to abandon your Mistral pals and fulfill your destiny as the Beastmaker. Deal?
Never. I shook my head. That isn't going to happen.
Pity,
Karth said. I considered the best course of action for dealing with the Arkans. I'd already threatened to put her under my control by force, but I still wasn't completely healed. If I were to tame the goddess, I needed to have my full strength back. I had a strong feeling it was going to take a lot more to make her submit, and now didn't seem like the most opportune time to make it happen. Fine, I said. Rot in here for all I care, but this discussion isn't over. I strengthened the wards around Karth even further, and then returned to my place in the library. The sun blazed through the windows, and I looked over at the ornate grandfather clock to the right of the fireplace. The interaction between Karth and I didn't seem like it had lasted too long, yet it was already almost time for me to meet with Arwen in her office. I scrambled to my feet, crossed over to the table, and began to toss my books back into my satchel. The academy was just up the hill, but I needed to start walking now if I didn't want to keep the red-headed professor waiting. I slung my satchel over my shoulder, retrieved my jacket, and then headed out the door and down the stairs. The house was dead silent, so I assumed my other women had already left for the day. As I left the house and made my way to the academy, my mind wandered yet again. But this time, I reflected on my encounter with Karth. She knew we had begun to unravel her master plan, and I was certain the Arkan was only going to make things even more difficult for me. I had her trapped away, but until I was strong enough to overpower her, I wasn't going to get any type of answers from her. It was doubtful, but perhaps there was a different way I could convince the Arkan to trust me. As soon as the thought crossed my mind, though, I waved it away. Karth said it herself. She wasn't going to cooperate. She wasn't Zan. And she wouldn't submit to me of her own accord, so I needed to find other ways to sway her. Soon, I made it to the academy, and once I breached the grounds, I started to head in the direction of Arwen's classroom. The hallways were fairly crowded, so I managed to keep my head down. I wasn't in much of a mood to socialize with my peers, and wanted to stay as inconspicuous as possible.
To my relief, I wasn't recognized or addressed, and I got to Arwen's classroom in record time. I knocked on the door and then peeked my head inside through the frame. Arwen was seated at her desk, and her head was bowed over a large textbook. She seemed so engrossed in the book that she didn't acknowledge the knock until I cleared my throat.
"Oh, hello, Griff,"
Arwen greeted me with a gorgeous smile, and then she closed her book.
"I'm so sorry, I didn't even hear the door. Come on in and take a seat."
"Don't even worry about it," I smiled back at her, and then I stepped into the classroom and quietly closed the door behind me. The moment we were alone in the classroom, I let out a low whistle that echoed through the chamber. "Wow, Arwen! You look beautiful today."
"You may be a little biased,"
Arwen laughed at me, but I shook my head. "I'm serious," I insisted. "I mean, you always look gorgeous, but today..." The beautiful professor had swept her long crimson hair up into a messy bun, and a couple of red tendrils framed her fine-featured face. Her amber eyes were lined with dark kohl that made them smolder, and her already long eyelashes were enhanced by black mascara. The swells of her curvy figure were fully on display in a sage-green, low-cut button-down blouse that was tucked into a black suede miniskirt, whose hemline was just long enough to be deemed decent. Black high-heeled pumps finished off the outfit, and I'll admit, the sight of my girlfriend brought me close to drooling. "Oh, this isn't fair," I remarked as my eyes trailed over her. "How am I supposed to focus on studying when you're looking so damn sexy?"
"I suppose you'll just have to work harder than usual,"
Arwen replied with a mischievous smile.
"Perhaps if you got my questions right, I'll reward you."
"I like the sound of that," I winked at her. "What kind of reward do you have in mind, Miss Hamner?"
"Oh, that's for me to know and you to find out, Mr. Griff,"
Arwen said in a professional tone, and her no-nonsense expression piqued my interest.
"But I assure you, you'll enjoy it."
"All right, then," I grinned as I took a seat at an empty desk in front of her, and I began to pull a few of my books out from my satchel. Then a thought crossed my mind, and I looked up at the professor. "Hey, Arwen, can I make a request? Just a warning, it's going to sound a little odd." Arwen's eyebrows creased together as she waited for me to continue.
"Sure, Griff. What is it?"
"Could you maybe try to call me Mr. Porter?" I wondered. "I mean, not just in a suggestive way, but when I'm being referred to in a professional setting as well."
"Is that what you'd prefer?"
the healer mage asked me as she moved a tendril away from her amber eyes.
"I've never referred to you with your surname before."
"I haven't really used it for myself either," I admitted. "But in the light of everything, something about it feels right."
"Mr. Griff Porter,"
Arwen tried it out, and the healer's lips curved upwards.
"It has a nice ring to it. If you'd like for me to start using it, I certainly will."
"Thank you," I said. The request had kind of felt random when I'd said it aloud, but referring to my professor by her last name made me wish that I had a proper surname as well. It was time to stop thinking about myself as Griff of Njorden Falls, a rascal summoner from the wilds. I was Griff Porter, the son and nephew of three guardians. It was a small thing to tack on, but I was ready to start embracing change. Once that matter was settled, Arwen wasted no time and immediately jumped into our review session. We began by retracing the lessons I'd begun in my second year. To my surprise, I'd retained a lot of the information I'd been given almost a year ago, and Arwen was equally as thrilled.
"You're doing wonderfully, Griff,"
she complimented me after I finished identifying the differences between the different elemental imps.
"I think you're going to do just fine with this exam."
"Thanks, Arwen," I smiled at the professor. "What can I say? You're a great teacher."
"I'm only here for review."
Arwen held her hands up.
"Everything else is all you. I dare say, Mr. Porter, that you might be rejoining your third year fairly soon here if you keep this trajectory."
You know, I might need a little incentive to keep my focus on track, I proposed, and I stuck my lower lip out into a mock pout. I can be pretty forgetful sometimes. Do you think you could give me some help, Miss Hamner? Arwen let out a breathy laugh.
I do suppose I could help you, Mr. Porter.
The professor crossed over to my desk, leaned over, and planted a kiss on my lips. Her jasmine perfume flooded my senses, and I pulled her in closer to me. Eventually, she made her way around so we didn't have a barrier between us, and she perched herself above me on the desk. I parted her long, creamy white legs, and was delighted to see the professor was not wearing panties. Awfully scandalous, Miss Hamner, I noted as I squeezed the soft skin of her thighs. With a skirt that short, you could have accidentally flashed someone.
I like a little bit of danger,
Arwen murmured. We continued like this for a while, until Arwen decided I'd had enough reward and not enough studying to accommodate it.
Keep progressing, and I'll reward you with something even greater,
she promised me as she smoothed her skirt back down, and then she went right back into the lesson. Once Arwen and I finished up our study session, I was feeling pretty wiped out, so I decided to take a lunch break and head down to the Academy's cafeteria. It had been a long time since I'd last entered the hall, and I was a little nervous to face my peers after so long, but my grumbling stomach was pretty insistent, so I let my nervousness fade away and my feet guide me to the hall. When I opened the twin doors into the dining hall, I was surprised by the sheer number of mages who occupied the room. I'd gone to lunch fairly early, so I hadn't expected as many people, but I'd underestimated a typical Monday at the Academy. After I filled my tray with roast chicken, scalloped potatoes, and asparagus, I glanced around the room in search of an empty table. I couldn't find any of my women or my friends among the throng, so I was resigned to eating in silence. However, just as I was about to hole up at an empty bench, I noticed a large hand waving in my direction.
Griff!
Braden called out with a smile on his round face, and I broke out into a smile of my own as I crossed over to him.
Hey, man! Good to see you!
I greeted my former roommate as I set my tray down on the table and slid into the bench across from him.
Good to see you, too,
Braden replied, and his gray eyes trailed over me.
How are you feeling? Better than Friday?
A lot better, I agreed with him. We kept it pretty calm this weekend, and I really think that helped me out.
Out of anyone I know, I think you're the most deserving of a break,
Braden remarked, and then he took a sip from his glass of water.
I'm glad to hear you had a relaxing time. You certainly look a lot better than you did. You've got some color to your cheeks again.
Thanks, I replied. It's probably going to take a little longer to fully recover, but I finally feel like I'm getting closer to it, you know?
I totally understand, my former roommate nodded. My manner didn't take half as big of a hit, and I feel like I'm still not back to normal.
I tucked into my chicken and let out an involuntary sigh of pleasure as the savory spices hit my tongue. The dining hall's food was always impressively delicious, and today was no exception.
So, how did you spend your weekend?
I wondered after I swallowed a huge bite. Did you take Maddie out?
I did.
Braden smiled, and his cheeks darkened slightly.
She was pretty stressed out, so it took a little convincing. But I surprised her with a new dress and took her out to a favorite tavern, and that seemed to do the trick.
Good man.
I toasted the ox-like summoner with my glass of water, and after I drank it down, I leaned forward on the table. Our women have a lot to deal with, so they deserve to be spoiled as much as possible.
Amen to that,
Braden agreed.
I feel like I'm going to be spending the rest of my life trying to make up for everything I put Maddie through.
Hey, cut Maddie some slack, I said. She's a tough girl, and she can handle anything you throw at her. She understands what this life is like.
You're right, Braden sighed. She is pretty damn tough. I'm so lucky, Griff.
I'm happy that you're happy, man,
I insisted. You deserve the very best. We moved on to other subjects, but I could tell something was on my friend's mind. I didn't want to push it, but I knew there was something he wanted to discuss, but didn't know how to bring it up. I waited until we'd put our trays away to ease the truth out of him. "Is everything okay, Brayden?" I wondered as we walked out of the dining hall and into the corridor. "You've had this look on your face since we started talking, and it's had me a little concerned. Are you keeping secrets from me? Do I have asparagus in my teeth?"
"Nothing's wrong," he assured me,
and then he let out a rich laugh.
"And no, your teeth are surprisingly asparagus-free. I have something I want to talk to you about. I've just been trying to find the right words, which in itself sounds super ominous, but it isn't, I swear."
"You sound like a sphinx," I laughed. "No more riddles and vague statements, Brayden. Give up the goods."
"Okay, you've caught me," Brayden chuckled. "All right. So I don't know how to say it, so I guess I'll just blurt it out. Okay, so Matty and I had a long discussion this weekend, and we've made a pretty big decision."
"And that decision is?" I asked, and for a brief moment, I wondered if Brayden's Banisher fiancé was pregnant.
"We're going to get married," Brayden announced.
"I know, man. I mean, you guys are already engaged." I frowned.
"I mean soon," Brayden clarified. "I don't want to wait any longer to make Maddie my wife. So we've decided we're getting married. This upcoming weekend."